Genesis chapter 4. The message today is cities. Cities. I want to read you several passages, so concentrate on them. I would like to read you more, but at least I want to read you these passages. Starting in Genesis chapter 4. God is pronouncing judgment upon Cain for slaying his brother, and he says in verse 11, "And now cursed art thou from the ground, which hath opened its mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee its strength. A fugitive and a wanderer shalt thou be in the earth." And now look at verse 16. "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehuyael, and Mehuyael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and pipe. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal Cain, the forger of every cutting instrument of brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hear unto my speech. For I have slain a man for wounding me, and a young man for bruising me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 77-fold. Now chapter 11. Verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Come, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is what they begin to do. And now nothing will be withholden from them, which they purpose to do. Come, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore was the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now, chapter 13. Verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the land of Egypt. So Lot chose him all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abram, dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners against the Lord exceedingly. Now I want to read you this for the sake of time, because this is what is said in the book of Ezekiel about this city of Sodom. It says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and prosperous ease was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Now, let's turn to chapter 18. Verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abram went with them to bring them on the way. Verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done all together according to the cry of it which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned from thence and went toward Sodom. And Abraham stood before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou consume the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there are 50 righteous within the city of Sodom. Wilt thou consume and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that so the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find there 40 and 5. And he spake again unto him yet again, and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the sake of the 40. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it if for the sake of the 20. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this one. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left off communing with Abram, and Abraham returned unto his place. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all these things that we have read from these several passages in the Word of Genesis. We pray, our God, that you shall cause them to be meaningful to us, that we shall understand them, that you shall cause us to see things as you see things, our God, and to have our minds and our purposes apart set in place because of the way that you give a description to the things that are in the world. And so help us to this end, we pray. Our Father, we would remember again all of those that have mentioned for prayer. And we pray, our God, that you shall bless them. And we pray that this day the Word of God shall speak to our hearts. Help us to understand all the things that you say about cities, our God, and let us look upon them as you look upon them. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We ask in his name. Amen. I've read you about three cities. And these were their names: Enoch, Anne, Babylon, and Sodom, and its sister city, Gomorrah. The first city that God ever mentioned is the city of Enoch. And what is remarkable is that this city, Enoch, was started by Cain, and the city of Babylon, you understand from reading the passages concerning it, that Nimrod was its founder. But when we come to Sodom, we are not told who founded it, but we are told of some of its kings, and we are told of its spiritual condition, but we are not told who founded it. But I just mentioned three cities this morning. The city of Enoch, and that's a beautiful name for a city. Who would ever think that to look upon a city named Enoch, it would be builded and founded and established by a murderer and founded it not for the glory of God, but for his own glory and safety and endurance. For this reason, what happened was this. God started man in a garden. Isn't that remarkable? It says that God planted a garden, and he put Adam and his wife in that garden. But man sinned, and he was expelled from the garden. And so man goes out and builds a city. He builds a city that he might enjoy life away from God outside the garden. Now, that's a terrible reason for a city to be built. If he were to go and plant a garden and try to create a condition as nearly as possible as that his father and mother dwelt in at first, that would be one thing. But instead of building and planting a garden, he goes out and he builds a city. Now, do not think of some great populous city, because the earth was sparse in population at this time, and the city would have been a small city, and the inhabitants of it, as far as we know, would all be lost. Because in the world at that time, there were those who were righteous and those who were wicked. And we know the condition of Cain. He was a murderer and he was a vagabond, but he was the one that built the city. And I am sure that he would not go and invite to come and live in that city those that were like his brother Abel. Why? Because his brother Abel was righteous. And it says his brother Cain was of the evil one. And so the first city that is ever built on the earth is not built for the glory of God, but it's built for the comfort and enjoyment of sinful man, and it is built after the name of Enoch, his son. Understand that this is not the Enoch in the line of Seth that is a righteous man and walks with God for hundreds of years, and so righteous was he that he was caught up to heaven. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. This is a different Enoch. This is an Enoch who has the same name, but this Enoch lives in a city established by a murderer, his father. And this other Enoch walks with God. But think now, here is a city built by Cain, who was of the evil one, and he names it after his son, Enoch. And I have no doubt that the ones who come and live in that city are those that are like unto Cain, the founder of that city. Here is what we find. That whereas in the garden, before sin came into the world, man was to find his delight in taking care of that garden that God had planted, to eat of all the fruit of the garden, to live in peace and quietness. And it said, in the coolness of the day, God would come and walk in that garden, and Adam and Eve could walk with God and fellowship with God and care for the animals. That was their responsibility, and there was no thought of sin. Who could desire anything better than the Garden of Eden and peace and work and accomplishment and fellowship with God? But man was cast out of that garden because Satan convinced Eve that God was holding something back from her. He said, has God told you that you can't have everything in that garden? Think, God had given them everything except one thing that would destroy them. The one thing that God was holding back was that which would destroy them. And Eve was deceived by Satan into thinking that God was withholding something that was good for her, that making her wise would elevate her in her condition and make her better off than she was without that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. And so she partook of it. And God expelled them from the garden. And so instead of trying to attain again the nearest thing to being in the very presence of God and walking with God and talking with God, what Cain said is this, I will build me a city. Here is something that's very interesting. That when Cain, before he was cursed by God, he was a tiller of the ground. He was doing outside the garden what his parents were to do inside the garden. And evidently, all was going well. But he would not render unto God that which was worthy of God from the fruits of the earth. And because of that, God reprimanded him, and Cain would not change. And he rose up and slew his brother Abel, because Abel was righteous, and he was wicked, and was of the evil one. And this is what God says concerning him in the earth. He said, from henceforth when you till the ground, it is cursed, and it shall not bring forth fruit like it did before I placed this curse upon it. And so because of that, Cain is going to try to engage in his old occupation, but he is going to build a city. God speaks about him, and Cain says, I will be a vagabond in the earth. Everyone that sees me will destroy me. And so what he does is this. He says, I'm not going to roam up and down in the earth. I'm going to build a city, a place of permanence, and I'm going to dwell in that city. And then I'm not going to expose myself to all the people, however few or many they may be in the world, but I'm going to live in this city, and I'm going to name it after my son, Enoch. And there I will make my living, not by tilling the earth, but by some other way of provision. Now, this is interesting. When you have the offspring of Cain, Enoch, and finally you get to Lamech, and Lamech has two wives, it says that concerning this offspring, they have certain abilities. Three of their children were Jabal and Jubal and Tubal-Cain. And it said Jabal was one who had cattle and dwelled in tents. And it said Jubal was one that was skillful on the pipe and the harp. And so here are musicians. Think of that. Here are nomads that deal with cattle. They don't till the earth. They have cattle. And here are those that are musical, Jubal. And it says Tubal-Cain, he was the father of all that were artificers. And they could work in brass and in iron. They were able to work with their hands. They were mechanics. And so here is man, and they're not tilling the earth anymore, but they're making out inventions, machinery as best as they could. They're musicians, and also they keep cattle. And so here is what happens. Man, when he is cast out of the Garden of Eden, does the best that he can to enjoy life away from God. How sad that God says, I want you in a garden. And man is cast out of a garden, and so he builds a city. Every time God starts man in one direction, man goes in another direction. Here, I place you in a garden. Well, at first, they are like in the garden. Cain is tilling the ground, and Abel is carrying the sheep. That's as nearly as possible as it was at first. But after sin enters into the world in the second generation, then they no longer are interested in a garden. But this is what happens. And I rejoice in this, that every change that man makes, God, who did not want it that way at first, adapts to what man has done, and he turns something good into what man intended for something that is evil. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? In the city. In the new city. The holy city, Jerusalem. You say, isn't that remarkable? Yes, but I noticed this, and it is of great interest, that city is called paradise, and paradise is a description of a garden. And in paradise, we have that river of water, and we have the tree of life that bears fruits, and so we're back in a garden again, but a garden that's not going to be contaminated, as that first garden was, by sin. And so the first dwelling place was in a garden, but our last dwelling place is going to be in a city that is like a beautiful garden. Every time God starts out with man, as he did when he took man out of Egypt, it was a theocracy. God was over the nation of Israel. But Israel said, we are not satisfied with having God to rule over us. Make us a king like all the nations. And so God says, Samuel, you think they've rejected you. They've not rejected you. They have rejected me from being their leader. And so instead of a theocracy where God controls Israel, we now have a king, King Saul to start with. And I need not tell you what the outcome was at the last of King Saul. But when man would not have God but have a king, what happens is that God says, all right, you want a king? I will give you a king. And eventually he sends them his son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So however God wants things and man changes it, God is able to intervene and give them something good out of what they would have for false reasons. Notice, they did not want a king that was godly and would direct them in the steps toward holy things, but they said, give us a king like unto the nations. We want him to go before us so that we can be proud and he can fight our battles for us. This was no desire to be holy, to live like God wanted them to be, but it was simply they wanted to be a king like all the nations. So why was a city built? To enjoy life outside the garden, away from the will of God. Why did they want a king? They wanted a king so that they could be not like God, but like all the nations. And so everything that God intends for man, man would corrupt it. And in this sense, it was a city that was started, the first city, the city of Enoch, a beautiful name, but a city that was of sin, that was founded from the start by a man that was a murderer and that wanted it for his own goods. Now, some things God allows man to do, and some things he prevents man from doing. That's why when I read you in Genesis chapter 11, we have the world at that time. Remember, the world had been destroyed, and we have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We have these, and from them comes the inhabitants of the new world after the flood. And so all of them have one language, and they are going, spreading over the earth, and they come to a place, Shinar, and they say, this is where we want to settle down, and we want to build a great city, and we want to build a tower in that city that reaches up to heaven. And so again, they want to be independent of God. They want to be protected without the protection of God, and they are proud, and they want a tower that reaches up to heaven. They want to be impressive among men. And so it is interesting that God says, in language that we can understand, I will go down now and see this building and this tower that they are building. And then God personally examines it, and he sees the pride and the vanity and the sin that it will lead to. And so God says, what they are doing now, if they continue, nothing will stop them from their purpose. Therefore, I'm going to confound their language. And God confounds their language, and the word Babel and Babylon means confounded. And so the second city, we'll say it is started by Nimrod, those like Nimrod. And God says, you are not going to have this concentrated city of evil. And therefore, men are spread over the earth. Why? Because they speak different languages. If you go and hear people speaking a foreign language, you try to get along with them, but you can't understand what they're talking about. But there are some that talk your language, and so all of you who speak one language are here, and those who speak another language are there, and so this is what happens. Different languages of the world, they spread out. And so God puts an end to this city of Babylon. And yet, there is another Babylon that is going to be built in the coming day, but not one mighty city that rules the earth at this time. But God puts an end to it this early in the history of man. And so notice that in this city that they wanted to build, it was to be so filled with pride and sin and iniquity that God says, I'm not going to allow them to build that city. I must tell you a little bit about Sodom and Gomorrah. We are not told who started Sodom and Gomorrah, but if you mention the word Sodom today, it is so associated with evil that whenever you hear the name, you think of sinful practices. I remember years ago driving from Buffalo to Toronto in Canada, and as you cross the border and go along the Queen's Highway, you come to a road, Sodom Road, and you wonder why anyone would give the name of the road Sodom Road. I'm thinking it may be this, that they didn't give it that name, but all the people round about it saw the evil practices that were going on up and down that road, and so they called it Sodom Road, and the inhabitants evidently weren't able to do anything about it, or they were proud of what they were doing, and so they accepted that name. And because of that, here is another city named Sodom, and it is as evil as its name implies. But let me show you the goodness of God. God, being omniscient, knows everything, but he personally investigates. He has angelic beings that investigate and can show you in a way that men can understand whether a city is good or evil. And so God says, I've heard these evil things about Sodom. He said that I'm going down to personally examine it and see if it's that evil. And because of that, here God sends angels to look into the situation. You know about Lot. I've read to you briefly about Lot. And Lot had separated from Abraham. God had been so bountiful toward Abraham and Lot that their possessions were great to the extent that they had to divide. And so Abraham said to Lot, look over the land. Anything that you want, you may have. You take one part and I will take another. And Lot looked at the land, and he chose what was best for Lot. And so he chose the well-watered plain, and he parted from Abraham. But what happened was this, that in that portion that Lot chose was the city of Sodom. And Lot and his wife and his two daughters moved to the city of Sodom. And then it says, and we would never have known it, that in that city, though he had a prominent place, it said his righteous soul was provoked day by day by all that went on in that city. And finally, that city was so evil that God said, I'm going to destroy it. And I read to you, and this is for our own good, to show you that even though a city is evil, yet if there are righteous ones in that city, And if they pray to God, God will spare that city for the righteous ones who are in it. And here is God, who had determined to destroy the city, and yet the will of God, by the intervention of prayer and by the presence of righteous men in a city, will spare a city. Well, if this is so, and there are righteous ones in Goldsboro, and the Lord Jesus said, you are the light of the world, and you are the salt of the earth, then, because of the light that is in us, because we have chosen Christ, and because of the salt that is in us, the righteous life and the truth that we have, that we can speak, it says, God will preserve Goldsboro if we pray and shine, and if the salt that we are will work in this city. And so by the grace of God, may Goldsboro be spared and the other wicked cities that are in the world be spared because of the righteous ones that are in it. Let us trust that there are at least 10 righteous ones in Goldsboro, and may God have mercy upon us. That's all for now. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all that you've told us about cities. We see how much sin there is in them, our God. We are thankful that we see that in the coming day, how much righteousness can be in a city. And so, our God, let us understand about the true nature of where we live, and let us do all in our power to keep it from being destroyed. We are light, let us shine. We are salt, let us prevent corruption, and let us be what you want us to be. And our Father, look upon our city and our nation and the world, and have mercy. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.